What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another let me start that off. Oh, hold on. Let me do that over again. It's been a minute. All right. Going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Skyward Cast. Back after a long time. I am Joey, here with my co-host, Delvin Cox. Before we get started, Delvin has to spit some of that hot fire. Go ahead, Delvin.
I don't know what to say now. It's been like 6 years.
Hey. Just do something, man. You got to do it for tradition.
All right. LL Cool J is hard as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care who you tell. I excel, then prevail. Can't remember the rest. Rock the bells.
All right. I guess that's good enough. Yeah. All right, man. Jeez. So how does it feel to be back on another episode of the Skyward Cast?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Shit, I don't know, man. You just pulled me out of the dungeon. I'm sitting there relaxing, thinking about life and stuff. All of a sudden, Joey, like, you want to record? I'm like, huh? He's like, yeah, let's record now. And I said, let me start recording now, because knowing Joey Craig, if I don't record now, we're not going to record for another 6 months. So,
hey, man, listen. Hey, I know I can, things can be kind of erratic like that, but hey, you gotta, what do they say? Strike while the, crap. Strike while the iron is
hot. Strike while the iron is hot. That is the expression. How do you not know that?
Hey, man. That mask came out before I was born. I'm not sure. Anyway. but yeah, man. It's been a while. Day.
Yeah. It's interesting day, to say the least. Shit. It's been, how long has it been, actually?
What?
Since we recorded.
I think it was like January, early February, maybe? Or was it
this year?
Nah.
It was last year.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was probably November or something.
I'm trying to figure out, was I still happily married when we were recording? Or was I in the process of what I am now, going through my divorce?
I feel like
the last time we recorded was before May of last year, which was before
May. Come on now, come on.
It had to be. It's been that long.
Go search up.
When's the last time?
Look, I can edit out the space, but it won't let me minimize it while I'm recording.
No. We're not doing that. Because see, if you do any editing to this episode, this shit will never come out. It will come out next year, January.
God. You know what? I got to say it. You're telling the truth. I don't like editing.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. It's all good. But yeah, go ahead, man.
What topics we got for today? I think we got a lot of stuff to talk about. What do you want to talk about in particular? We'll talk about the Bethesda thing. What's about PlayStation fucking everybody over?
We can just talk about consoles in general, man. What's the current state? You feel like upgrading? What's up?
Let's talk about this, because everything that you said is kind of coming to fruition in terms of how digital, this all digital future, now all digital gods is kind of going to be a thing, because this is maybe the first time in console history, in terms of the major consoles, where they are pushing an all digital console and a regular console at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is huge, because the climate has gotten to that point where the sales of digital and physical are almost the same. I think it's like 60-40 now, digital. And I think the 60% is because of the pandemic.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. It's odd how a lot of things kind of worked out to it's like things that would have happened maybe, you know, over the next 5 years or so, they got pushed really fast over the pandemic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the pandemic screwed everything over.
Yeah, definitely.
I have an answer for us, Joey. The last Skyward Cast was December 13, 2019.
Oh, we were getting close to a full year. Oh man.
Yeah.
That's nutty, man.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you why, because you've been down to record. It's been me, you know.
Doesn't matter. That's fine. As long as we're here now, that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
People miss the show. People love the show. And we back, baby. We are back. So
yeah. I'm hyped. I might not sound like it, but I am.
You never sound like you're hyped, so that's fine.
I just hope I don't sound monotone. But
you always sound monotone, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, dang.
That's how you talk. That's not a bad thing. That's just how you sound.
Hey, I guess.
It's a great radio voice.
Hey, well, that's nice to hear.
Yes.
But yes, dang, man, digital.
So what do you think about this? That's what I want to ask you. What do you think about these? Let's go to the first one first. I think that's the more important one to talk about in terms of our constant conversation of all digital future.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox, what is it, Series S?
Yeah.
That is the all digital console for the right price. Whereas the PS5, to me, the PS5 digital version kind of seems like a half measure. This Series X seems like, hey, this is your digital console. This is what the digital overlords wanted you to get.
Yeah. I mean, with Microsoft really going hard on Game Pass, I can see that being their number one, because it's like, if it's mainly being sold as a Game Pass device, I mean, hey, that's perfect. Who cares about any of that? I mean, and I'm sure there's an audience out there for that. You know, there's a lot of people that get their third-party games. They just download them, preload them. They're not worried about any of that. I'm not that guy. I love my freedom. And every time I think about this, I always think about just the idea of access to the stores, to the servers being cut off at some point. You know, because you know these companies don't plan on having these consoles be online forever, you know? Whether it be for security reasons, they might say, okay, well, we're not offering service security updates anymore, so we're not going to allow this device to enter our servers anymore. So, I mean, at that point, what you have on that digital console is it, unless it can get hacked, which these consoles, they have PC, regular PC hardware. So if they take away access, it'll happen. But I would rather them just give me eternal access to my games. You know what I'm saying? Like, just make it easy for me. Don't, you know. And then, you know, my issues that I had before with digital content, waking up the next day and finding out that my license has been revoked and I got to call them and say, hey, I actually own this content. And they got to give it all back to me. I don't know. That just seems like a dangerous space. And then rights being taken away from companies. And so the game is no longer, it can no longer legally be in the store. So then you just lose your game.
Yeah, and that's happened to me multiple times. And it happened to me, one time it happened to me with a game I just recently purchased.
Oh, like, God.
Like, and it just recently came out digital. And I purchased it, like, probably like, this wasn't like recent, but this is how it worked. I can tell you the game. It was Transformers, what is it? Not Devastation, the one before that. The one that was made by Activision. It's called War for Cybertron, I think it's called. I purchased that game and didn't get a chance to play it. What I did was I purchased the game, so you know, I'm going to play this when I get a chance because I love the Transformers games and stuff like that. And then when I went to play it, it was gone. The purchase was completely gone. It wasn't there anymore. I knew I bought it. It came out digital one day for you to buy. It was like $30, something like that. And when I actually went to go pay it, like play it, like 6 months down the line, it was completely gone. That was gone. My Legend of Korra game was gone. And a couple of other Activision games were gone because they lost the license. And I don't even think they put up anything saying, hey, we're taking these games off of this system, so you can download them now. So I essentially lost a bunch of games that I was supposed to be playing, which sucks.
That shouldn't even be legal. They should have to, I don't know, man, send you out a physical copy or something. They got to do something to make that right. I feel like there's so many ways, there's so many things set in place where the consumers can easily lose, and it's all set up to just to benefit the publishers and the developers. And that's not okay. You know, like it really hurts us, like when it comes to archiving. You know, we got cartridges from 30 years ago. Like, what do we do if the developers just don't want us to have it anymore? You know, and literally they could remotely deactivate your game. You know what I'm saying? So if they were really just like, this game can't be played anymore, I mean, I don't know if they could do that, but there'd be a lot of backlash. But just the fact that they have that type of power, man, and then we don't have that type of, the ability to just go download it again from, you know, some website like we can on PC. Because, I mean, if somebody tries to take away a game on PC, well, you're just asking for pirating. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really easy to undo that. That's, I don't know, man. I'm not for it, despite the convenience, though.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't even know how to describe it because it's crazy, because it feels like video games are the only place you can get away with pulling that crap in terms of, hey, you bought a game, you paid for it, and they can just one day just take it away, and everybody's okay with that. It's so weird that we just accept it. Like, even when it happened to me, I called Sony, and they gave me the runaround for hours and still didn't solve the issue. Like, you took money. That's essentially what it was. I purchased something full price, and then you took it back. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's whack. That definitely wouldn't go with anything else. But a lot of stuff, just like you said, a lot of stuff goes with games that wouldn't go anywhere else. Like, I remember we had this conversation before. I gave the example of the Blu-ray. Like, you could never sell someone a shattered Blu-ray, not literally shattered, but, you know, like the file is messed up. It only plays 3/4 of the way through or something like that. And then it just crashes. Like, they wouldn't say, hey, just stand by for a patch. No, that wouldn't be acceptable. It'd be like, you sold me a defective disc. The file on here is corrupt. So I want you to send me out a whole new Blu-ray. You know, but for us on games, it's like, well, we just kind of deal with the fact that what we actually own on the disc is almost unplayable. So if you don't have access to the internet, like, you're just, it's a wrap.
I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I had this conversation months ago on PSXP. People thought I was crazy. I've been saying this for months. It's absurd to me that these companies are trying to charge more money for the game consoles, for the games, for the consoles, like next generation consoles. Like, mm-hmm. The prices went up from $59.99 to $69.99. Everybody keeps making excuses for these companies, like, oh, well, the gaming cost have went up. This has went up. It's the price of games should go up. Why? Why the price of games should go up? I don't understand why we're caping for these companies that don't cape for us. These companies make billions of dollars off of gaming. Whether it's, what is it? Whether it's, I can't even think of what it's called, like battle passes, or all that type of stuff, add-ons that you have to pay for a game. So when I see them saying, we're going to start charging $69.99 and we're not getting rid of that add-on content, so you still can buy that, and in many cases have to buy that, that's insulting. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That we're getting to this point where we're being exploited for playing video, for loving video games, and They know we're gonna pass because it, so it doesn't matter. They know we're gonna. They know we're not gonna stop playing video games. So they're gonna just, you know what? We can charge them $10 more. We can charge them $20 more because we know they're gonna pay it. And at some point, we as gamers are like, you know what? We're not doing this.
Exactly. But I mean, they're not. Most people aren't gonna stop, man. Look at how Madden. Look how they've been doing people. Look how with 2K. These games look almost identical year after year, which they basically could just be so if it came out and they had the 2019 version, they could have just done a 2020 patch, you know what I'm saying, or a DLC pack to update it or something for like $20. But instead, they sell you a little, what they claim is a whole new game, but it's basically just... they throw like some little gloss on it and slightly change the graphics, which, I mean, sometimes it looks exactly the same with a whole bunch of microtransactions. And it's even worse for Madden. It's all that trash is just, it's unacceptable. But that's what makes it go. That's what makes it keep going that way, because they know they can get away with it. And yeah, so I mean, even the very few of us that actually are willing to stand up for it, that's not going to be enough, because you're still going to have millions and millions of people that are willing to throw their money at them whenever they come out with another one, even if it's just the same trash.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We've got to that point where we just accept what we're given because we like gaming. And I think we need to find a line where we have to say, you know what, maybe we don't need to accept this right now. Maybe this is not okay. But we're not going to do that because we just have to play the new Madden. We have to play the new 2K. We have to get the new stuff. We can't. I think what needs to happen is, and I hate to say this, we need to have a situation where the gaming industry just takes a hit.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean like in terms of like companies and all, everything across the board. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Look at EA. EA took a hit with Mass Effect because it wasn't quality. People paid for it and they were upset. EA took a hit with Anthem because people paid for it. They were upset. EA took a hit with Battlefront too. People paid for it. People was upset. If you keep taking those hits, eventually people are just going to stop buying your stuff and supporting you. And I think that kind of affected EA to the point where they're like, we need to turn things around. And they're not doing as many of those weird, messed up practices that we were doing before. And I think we need more people to do that. Like, if you feel like you're being cheated or you're not getting what you want out of a gaming console, you should speak up. You should let these people know, like, hey, this is not acceptable. Like, the fact that at this point in time, patches have become a crutch for games is insane. Like, that should not be acceptable. If you're going to sell me a $60 game, you should be selling me the complete game. I should not have to buy this game and have to have it patched to make it better. It should be running to an optimal level. I'm not even mad at some of the glitches, but a lot of these games come straight up broken without the day one patch. And that's insane to think about. Now imagine them doing this for a $70 game. It's bad enough what they're doing it with $60 games, but $70.
Yeah, we'd see nothing from that. Remember that trash when everybody was talking, okay, hey, look, when we go all digital, then that means we'll see a big price decrease, right? Because they won't have to do packaging. They won't have to put it on on the shelves and the stores. So that means they can send it directly to the consumer and we get a price cut. No. These fools will collect. What'd you say?
I knew that wasn't happening. People kept saying, like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
People are going to take that increase and pocket that. They're not thinking about no price cuts at all. No company does that. No company sits there and thinks about, hey, let's lower our prices to benefit our consumers, unless they have to.
Unless they care, which very few companies actually do, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, so if they raise it up to $70, they're just going to take it. And it's just, they're just going to say, well, this is what we're owed for these amazing games. And like, this is, we should have actually done this a long time ago. And so be happy we didn't do it long ago. And yeah, pay up these microtransactions also. You know, these fools don't care about us, man.
Well, they're doing what they said they're going to do. They're doing exactly what they said. They make an excuse for it. They said basically, oh, the cost of gaming just went up. Everybody, that's the thing they keep saying. Well, the price is going up for the cost of gaming is going up. Yes, I understand the cost of gaming is going up, but the amount of money you are making off of gaming has also went up. Gaming is more popular than it's ever been.
That's true.
And costs are down for a lot of things. Like when PS4 came out, the cost to make the PS4 were about the same price as it was the system. But as time went on, the price for the circuits and stuff became cheaper. And they started making profits off of selling PS4. I think PS4 sold at a profit now I think about it. Like a $50 profit. But as the console generation went on, they're making money hand over fist on these games. Like, and it's not even, like, look at Take-Two. They made enough money off of Grand Theft Auto alone to never have to worry about money ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Red Dead, which made a boatload of money as well. Then they have 2K Basketball, WNBA 2K. They make money hand over fist. People be acting like these gaming companies are poor and helpless. No. They're billionaires.
Only companies I'd be worried about or be willing to pay maybe a little more for is some of these indies that really care and drop quality content all the time.
I agree.
You know, so other than that, not these big old freaking, not EAs, not the Bungies, no Ubisoft, none of that, because they have over the years just gotten too comfortable. And it's not, like you said, it's not until they take a hit that they actually start thinking about the consumer. I mean, look at what that hit did for Microsoft at the beginning of the generation. Man, like, they've been trying to work their way back for 7 years now. And now they're just trying to get to, starting to get to the point where people have fully accepted Game Pass. And, you know, they're actually looking forward to the Series S and the Series X. It's not like an underdog anymore, you know? So that's what we need to do to more of these companies so we can get what we deserve, especially when we're still paying for online, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. To allow any of these companies to play gatekeeper when 90% of the games that we're playing, they're not on Microsoft servers, they're not on Sony servers, yet we're still paying them. That never makes sense to me. And even Nintendo, even though their trash is just $20, the quality of it is just so bad, it should be free. So I don't know. There's no excuse for us to still be paying. I wish that would be the first thing to go.
Yeah, and it's not going to go because they know people will do it. If you know you have somebody who's going to constantly at your beck and call do what you want to do, they're going to keep doing it. Like, why should they not do it? Because they know they're going to make money off of us. Because we've been suckers and we've been doing it. We've been doing everything they say because they say this is why we need it. And we haven't looked, we haven't researched it, we haven't took think about, hey, maybe they don't need it. We just kind of just fall in line and do what they want us to do.
That is so unfortunately true, man. And I sit there and I have these conversations with people and they'll give you all these reasons. What about all the free games, brother? Not free. They come along with the subscription. No one would ever consider any type of Netflix content. Oh, look at all these free movies. No, they come with the subscription. It's a part of the package. You know what I'm saying? That's so ridiculous. None of it justifies it either. You know what I'm saying? Especially on Microsoft's part. I don't understand how any of their fans allow that to happen with them actually accepting PC as a part of the official Xbox experience now. And they get all the crap for free. They get party chat. They get online gaming. All that stuff. There's no wall. They don't play gatekeeper with them on that. And the only reason why is because they know that they would never be able to get away with it because there's Steam and there's Origin, all those other options, and nobody's going to pay. They tried to pull that crap with, what was it, Windows Live Gaming, and people were like, heck nah. Years and years back. So it's... that trash, it irritates me all the time, man. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I shouldn't be paying anybody. Like, you already got to pay for your internet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These, anyway, I'm not going to keep ranting. Here we go ahead, man.
Well, let me, let's change the subject a little bit because I wanted to ask you about something.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think about the whole DC Universe thing? The app, at least. Basically being all comics now again.
I think that's good. I think that's a good idea. Because I didn't like the fact that they made it such a niche app. Because, you know, you weren't going to get that type of attention to it, even though they had really good content and they tried to put the DCEU movies on there and classic DC movies. Nobody was going to pay for that just exclusively. I mean, some people were. But like I said, you had to be a hardcore fan to really want that. So I think the video content has a better place on HBO Max. And for it to just be comics again, it's a really good idea.
So what do you think about it all going to HBO Max? Because HBO Max is higher than the DC Universe app is. What is it? $14.99 HBO Max and DC was $6?
Yeah, but it's like 1,000 times more content. You know what I'm saying? To mix it in with all that Warner Bros. Content, all those different TV shows and movies, all those award-winning HBO series, you know? To have all of that side by side, it just really, it makes it an amazing package. You know what I'm saying? At first, I thought, you know, HBO Max is a little too expensive, but you know, all that mashed together, man, that's a solid deal. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It has a lot of stuff on there. I watch it probably once a week. They have like Studio Ghibli. They have DC now. They have shows like The Fresh Prince. They have Cartoon Network. Then they have the regular HBO stuff, which is really good. I like it a lot. It's a great alternative to shoot anything like Netflix. It's a great competitor to Netflix. I love it. Like there's a show on there that I sat there and watched the whole series with my kids. It's called Infinity Train. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It was on Cartoon Network. It was like, I want to say it's a mini series. It's like 10 episodes. Each episode is like 10, 15 minutes long. And when I say this cartoon series is incredible, it is incredible. It is so good. It is mind-blowingly good. Each season is like a different story. And the whole concept is that I don't want to spoil too much about it because I want you to watch it. But people get trapped on this train and they have to sort out their problems they have in life by figuring out puzzles to get through the train and learning a lesson. And every time they get closer to getting off the train, they have like a number on their hand. It goes down. When that number gets to zero, you get to go back to your regular life. But the key is you had to learn something about your past or mistake that you were making. So the idea is you're supposed to get off the train as a better person than what you was when you got on. Because when you got on the train, you was having problems. Like in the some kind of weird way, the train transports you there and you have to stay on the train till you figure out your problems and then get off the train like that. It's such a unique concept. It's really cool. It's super dark for a Cartoon Network cartoon show. Like this came on. This is not like Adult Swim. This is Cartoon Network. It's on HBO Max, but the show itself was on Cartoon Network. All the first and second season was definitely on Cartoon Network, and I think the third season was HBO Max exclusive. But when I say this show gets dark, it gets dark. Like people. get killed in the show and don't come back.
I'm gonna have to check it out, man.
It's incredible.
Yeah, just let me know. Like, send me the name in my in a message so I can get it for sure. Because I'll probably forget. I don't have HBO Max, so I'm gonna have to see if it's somewhere else. I had it, like, you know, I use a trial. I don't have it like that.
I'm quite sure season one and season two of Infinity Train is on the Cartoon Network app.
Do you need to have like a subscription or something to log into that?
No.
Okay. Cool. Because I don't have any of that. All I got is Hulu, Disney Plus, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
You need a subscription to watch certain things on there, but they have a whole bunch of free shows you can watch on the Cartoon Network app. You just have to sign up for it.
All right. Yeah, I'll check it out, man. That sounds interesting.
It's really good. I love it. It's one of my favorite shows.
Wow.
It's that good. Like, there are points where I got teary-eyed and everything, watching it with my kids. Me and my kids watched, like, the whole second season in one day and the whole third season in one day. I had already seen the first season, and I loved the first season of the show. Me and my son watched it together, and we kept telling my daughter, you should watch this. You would love this. And she wouldn't do it. And then one day she saw us watching the second season, and she sat there and started watching from episode one, and we did not stop watching till episode 10. And she stayed there glued to it, and then like a week later, we watched all of season three, and she was even more glued to it. She was screaming at the screen. When things happened, we were cheering. It was super good. It's really, really good. That's the type of shows I like to see on Cartoon Network. I know people like Teen Titans Go. That's not my jam. I like to see shows like Infinity Train. There's one called Over the Garden Wall that was really good. I like Steven Universe. I like the shows that are serious, but can be funny at times, but it still has a serious tone to it.
You know what I was checking out recently, a little bit of? What was it, like The Adventures of Gumball or something like that?
That's a good show. My kids like that.
Yeah. I was surprised. Like, it's just weird how it is. It's like sometimes I have like real stuff in the background and then there are just like these little cartoon cutouts. And it's just like the topics that they cover in the show. It's not like super stupid to the point where it's like, wow, you have to be a child to enjoy this. Like some of these shows are, you know what I'm saying? Like I could sit there and laugh because it kind of has like that 90s humor a little bit where it's like, if you're a kid, you would understand the joke one way, but if you're an adult, you understand like the deeper meaning of it. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a really good show. My kids love Gumball. They think it's real funny. I've gotten a little bit into it. I like it. Like I said, I like cartoon shows that have great plots and tell great stories. That's just my thing. That's always been my thing. I like shows that tell great stories. Another thing I watch, so we're talking about great stories.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Cobra Kai yet?
No, I have not, man. I've been hearing a lot about it. Only reason I haven't seen it, well, one, because I don't watch that much TV, but I haven't seen the movies. So I heard that if I watch it without seeing them, it's just not the same. So I want to get the full experience.
I will say this. It holds up without the movies. The movies help a lot, but it's one of those shows that actually hold up without necessarily having to watch the movies.
But it's kind of like a 20 years later reunion type deal, right?
Yeah, no, it's more or less like, hey, remember the bad guy from the Karate Kid, the first movie? Well, that guy grew up and he's basically a loser, and this is what happened. That's literally what happened, and that one moment that we sat there and cheered for in that original Karate Kid movie literally ruined this guy's life. And this is him trying to get back on his feet. That's the story of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's really compelling because one of the things that Cobra Kai does really good that a lot of shows don't get right is that they do a great job at playing in the gray area. In terms of, there are moments where the main character of Cobra Kai seems like a complete dick and asshole and unlikable. And you're like, yeah, he deserves everything he gets. And there's moments where he seems like he's the good guy of the story. And the people you would have said were the good guys of the previous story, well, they're kind of assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this show so unique, is because there's really no good guys or bad guys. They're just people living their lives and dealing with situations. And based off what happens in the situation, determines the outcome of the season.
Oh, okay. I mean, that sounds possibly cool. I mean,
well, I'll give you a good example.
Ah, no spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to tell you a good example. Imagine this scenario. You have a kid who is getting bullied his whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's known as the dork, the nerd, all this stuff. The kid ends up finding Cobra Kai, learning karate, and becomes a badass. Now, in return, this kid starts to become the bully. Get that concept so far?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it kind of works, because it's like, you'll see this kid who you kind of like, yeah, damn, I feel bad for him. He's going through a lot. Then you see him become a badass. You feel happy for him. And then the kid turns out to start to become a dick because they have all this power for the first time they never had before.
Yeah. Freaking cop syndrome.
Exactly.
That's funny.
You hit it on the head.
Oh, man. All right, man. I might have to give it a chance. You know me and TV shows, man. I always say I'm going to try this and that and that and this. And then it takes forever, man, because I just don't watch that many TV shows. Right now, I'm in the middle of Attack on Titan, season 3.
But I stopped watching it.
You stopped watching it?
Yeah, it's I can tell you exactly what happened, made me stop watching. It wasn't that I wasn't liking the show, it was that it took so long for episodes to come out. And then I think something happened where the season got paused in the middle of it. I want to say that was season 2.
I believe that did happen in season 2.
And it happened for so long. By the time it got back, I didn't remember anything that was going on. I said, fuck it, I can't watch this right now.
I just, the similar thing happened to me, but what I had to do was just go on YouTube and go watch season 2 recap. And it's real quick, man. It's like 10 minutes, and they did it really well. And then I started from there, and it was all good because I really wanted to see it. It kind of snuck up on me, you know, since it became a Hulu exclusive thing. So I didn't even know it came back. So I caught up a couple weeks ago, watched a little recap, and then I've been enjoying it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. My Hero Academia kind of did the same, a similar thing too, because what I usually watch that show is, I don't like watching subtitles. I like watching dub. So what I do is I buy the season off of PlayStation Network.
Okay.
And how it's supposed to work is, at the same time, they air the Japanese sub version of it, they're supposed to send you the dub version like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't doing that. They would send me, like they started off sending me the dub version like the next day and stuff like that for a while. Then if I'm correct, the pandemic happened. And then episodes would start coming sporadically. Like, I want to say, I get an episode 1 week, and then like 3 or 4 weeks later, another episode will come out.
Oh, dang.
Even though the sub version was all already on Hulu.
That
for a good while, I think the season's over with now, but it was crazy because I saw a spoiler for the season finale much before I could watch the season finale.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate, man.
Because everybody was talking about the season finale, because everybody who was watching the Hulu sub version saw the season finale way before I saw it because I was watching the dubbed version.
That's why you can't watch dubbed, man. Dubbed is for losers. You know what I'm saying?
Can't do it.
I do both. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'll I'm perfectly fine with it. Like for any like special cases, like Full Metal Alchemist, I watched both of them straight dub because the voice acting is just amazing. But in like some cases, like Naruto. Oh no, I can't watch the dub. It's absolutely terrible after you start watching the sub version because they don't even pronounce his name right. They call him Naruto, and it's like, what the heck? Oh man. So I had to throw that to the trash. And because it's so freaking long, I literally was like, I don't know. I would have probably had to wait for like a year and a half to catch up. And I wasn't having that. So I had to do the same thing with DBZ or Dragon Ball Super because I wasn't about to wait. There's just no freaking way.
See, this is the thing with me. I can never really sit down and enjoy stuff without being bothered. So me sitting like in my house and trying to watch like a sub anime, somebody would constantly walk up to me and ask me a question, then I would completely lose track of what's going on. It never fails. Like I sit there watching My Hero Academia, then somebody start talking to me, and then I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Now, if it's sub, I'd have to probably just start back over because I would not know what the fuck is happening. But if it's dub, I can catch back up, pick up on what was going on and kind of go from there.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, in that type of situation, I get you. I mean, though the sub is still the preferred way, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like I said, it really depends on which one, but I understand your situation. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. That really does suck. You gotta get some privacy, man.
Yeah. Eventually that will come. Don't know when, but it will come.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I don't even record in my house. I record in my office because if I didn't, every 5-10 minutes, somebody would be coming and ask me a question.
Oh, dang. I mean, hey, at least you got a freaking office, man. Jeez, I'm in the freaking living room right now. So I got to be careful when people walk through. I got to mute it. So if you see the little mute thing pop up and I'm not saying anything, it's because I'm like telling someone, hey, I'm recording, you know. So they don't bust in here and making all kind of freaking noise, turn on water, banging pans and crap, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man. Jeez. So before we close this off, because we've been going for a little bit, I wanted to just ask you, because we didn't really get to the whole Microsoft buying Bethesda thing. What do you think about that real quick?
I think it's great for Microsoft. I think people are making too big of a deal out of it in terms of like, it's a death blow for Sony.
No, oh, yeah.
It's huge for Microsoft. It puts Microsoft immediately on the same playing field as Sony. But there's a caveat. It depends on what Microsoft does with the company. Mm-hmm. Now, if Microsoft just lets everything be business as usual and all the games like Skyrim and Fallout just can still go on Sony consoles with no problem, then nothing just changes. The only thing that changes is Microsoft getting paid by Sony to put those games on their platforms, which is huge. So Microsoft making money on that side. But if Microsoft says, you know what, we're going to just make Skyrim exclusive to Xbox, that's a big deal. That's amazing. That changes the landscape of everything.
I think they might. I think they might do that. And what that'll depend on is how good Game Pass does over the next year or two. You know, because while these major games are in development, because if the subscriptions aren't high enough to feel like, okay, they can just depend on that, on Game Pass, on with xCloud and PC Game Pass and console, and not feel like they're missing on any of those sales that they would have got from the PlayStation, then they'll just be like, hey, we're good. You know, like if they have that many subscriptions. But if not, then they'll probably be like, you know, because they said the games are going to be exclusive on Xbox and PC, except on certain games, they're going to go by a case-by-case basis. And so I really do think that depends on how good Game Pass is doing. Because if it's not, then they're not going to want to just depend on just on Game Pass and miss out on those millions and millions and millions of sales that they could have got from PS5, you know? So it really just depends on that attach rate, so.
Well, just look at it like this. Imagine them saying, hey, Doom, not Xbox exclusive. Wolfenstein, not Xbox exclusive. You know, Elder Scrolls, not Xbox exclusive. All those games alone, those three games alone right there will make people jump ship to buy Xbox to play games on Xbox.
It's, yeah, major deal. And I think that's why, sorry about that. But that's why they came in with the Xbox Series S at such a low price, because they're trying to make sure that they can get everybody in as soon as possible. I mean, I'm sure this deal has been going on for a long time. And like I said, so it really depends on that attach rate, how many people are actually subscribed to Game Pass. And I mean, also how many people just buy the Series S and Series X. So if they're falling behind heavy, like over the next year or two, then they'll probably be like, okay, well, you know what? We'll let Skyrim or what the next Elder Scrolls is, we'll let that go to PlayStation. But maybe these other ones that are coming out later on, we'll kind of wait and see how that goes. Because you know they're going to be working hard to get everybody on. And they added that xCloud. So that's a 3-for-1 with the Ultimate, you know. So depending on what games they put on there. But you can't entice people to actually subscribe specifically to it if they're not doing exclusive. So I think maybe the next few games, they will actually make them exclusive. And, you know, if it works out, then fine, they'll keep going that route. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see where it goes. I mean, either way, I already have an Xbox, so I'm straight.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get the Series S.
The S, huh? All digital after we just had this conversation?
I'll tell you why. Because I don't play my Xbox that much. But one of my favorite games is State of Decay. So if I have a system I can play State of Decay on and Halo and a couple other exclusives, I might go S. But I have been considering, what is it called? The X? What is the new one called? The major one.
Series X.
Yeah, Series X, I have been considering that one as well because I want a 4K Blu-ray drive.
Yeah. Would you ever consider that little payment plan? Was like $35 a month, comes with Game Pass Ultimate?
No. One, my credit's not good enough. And two, I'd rather just pay it off. I've always been a person like, hey, I'll just play it off. I'll just trade in my regular. I'm thinking about trading in my regular Xbox.
You have an Xbox?
Yeah.
How come we never play?
I tell you, I don't play much on it. I'll play State of Connect Decay and some of the exclusives. I barely touch it. I play like Gears of War, State of Decay, Halo. And that may be it.
Bruh, I've never played State of Decay. We could have played.
I love State of Decay. But I'm going to trade mine in to get on. I might get down, what is it called? The Series X. I have the good Xbox. What is the Xbox called now? I can't remember none of the Xbox names.
One X?
Yes. See, this is confusing. The Series X, One X, storm me off. I have the One X.
See, I was saying MS is kind of freaking, what do you say, convoluted? It's really, I remember Sean Capri was like, come on, everybody acting like this is confusing. This is, you guys are blowing it out of proportion. You're making it a big deal. But it is. It's like at first, you know, we already had to get used to the fact that the third Xbox is the Xbox One, which I kind of got it because it was like the all-in-one experience. But it wasn't the Xbox all-in-one. They should have just did that. But, and then from there, you got the Xbox One S and the One S X. See, I'm messing up already. And then you go from there to the Series X and S. And so people talking about, so what's going to happen around the holidays? Like, this is really a situation where someone could, you could get sent to the store to go pick up a Series S and go pick up a One S. Because one, they look, they're both white, and the pricing isn't that different. You know what I'm saying? What is like a full one? It's like $199. The other one is $299. You can make that decision, that screw up real quick.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they gotta do some better naming conventions. I just completely confused the One X with the Series X. I couldn't tell you the difference, even though I know the difference because I own the One X. But the Series X is so close to that name. It's like, which one am I talking about?
Yeah, man, that's crazy. But man, yeah, if you got the One X, you should be able to trade that in for something, right? What do you think, like 150, 200?
I think it's like 200 or something like that.
I mean, if that's the case, and if you're already going to, well, I guess if you were going to do that, you probably would have only had to pay like $100 difference and go get that Series S. So I see how that's a good deal. But then you get the big one and you get all that extra power, 4K.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about. If I trade it in, I'll get that extra power, that 4K, get the Series X, and I'm good.
I don't know. What do you think about PlayStation, man? We've been talking about Xbox. What's up with this PlayStation? You thinking about getting one?
I'm going to get one, but they fucked everybody up. That pre-order thing was just a piece of shit. That was garbage. it was so garbage. They botched that so bad. I don't even know how to describe how bad they botched that in terms of like, hey, they've been saying like weeks ago, like, hey, we're going to give you guys ample time to know when we're going to pre-order. Then bam, pre-order's alive. Fuck out of here, man. That's stupid. It's beyond ridiculous.
I think they did that trash on purpose. Like, because remember what that mess was like hunting for a friggin' PS4? Like, me and Shafi were, we were out there going, looking at the same time. You know, I remember that's how we met back during the friggin' PS4 hunt of 2013. Yeah, we were looking and we typed in what was it? We were typing in stores and we typed in our city name and then we happened to come across each other because I was talking like, hey, they found some at the Target over here. And he was like, oh, did they still have some? And I was like, I'm about to go look. And so he was like, keep me posted. You know, so we were just kind of going back and forth. And that's how that happened. That was crazy. But I think they want that again because it's newsworthy, you know? Oh, it's pandemonium for the newest release PlayStation console. You know they're gonna be talking like that.
That's stupid. I always hate it when they do that. Like, somebody said this before. I don't remember who said this. I know who it was. Vince McMahon, of all people, said this. I heard this on a podcast. They were talking about how you know they would go to like in the 90s when they during the Attitude Era. They would go to Vince McMahon and say, hey, we sold out of all our Stone Cold shirts. We sold out of all our stuff, our merchandise. Because, you know, have you ever been to like an event at a convention center or something like that, Joey? Like a wrestling event or a basketball game or something like that?
No.
Okay. What happens is they have these little concession booths where you can buy T-shirts and mugs after the game and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They come with you. So during the Attitude Era time, this used to be a big deal because like Stone Cold was going crazy. They was selling out of his shirts every night. And they would come tell Vince McMahon that he would get pissed off. And what he would say was, if you're selling out of the shirts, that means you're not bringing enough. That means people are not getting the shirt they want. And that should be the case for everything. If you're selling out of stuff, that's not a good thing. That means there are people who couldn't get the shirt or get the product that you're offering. You want to get this product in as many hands as possible. You don't want to keep saying, oh, we're sold out, we're sold out. No, because then that's stopping somebody from buying your product.
Go ahead.
And I always found that stupid because Nintendo does the same thing, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're driving crazy with them too, this kind of fake shortages on the system or intentionally making it so, oh, it's selling out everywhere. No, just put it on the shelves, fill up the shelves so it can really sell out everywhere. Get enough product in the store so people can buy it and go crazy about it because people will buy it.
But it get works. It works. They've been doing it since the Wii. Remember that trash too? It was crazy.
And I will say this. When the Wii U came out, it didn't work. I'm dead serious because did I ever tell you the story about how I got the Wii U? Mm-mm. Well, I didn't buy it for me. I bought it for my kids. What happened was the Christmas time of year when the Wii U came out, right? Me, my wife at the time, well, she's still going through the mall. She's still, we're walking through the mall looking for Christmas gifts. And we took Wii U off our mind completely because we were like, this is going to be sold everywhere. We don't have to get this right now for the we can get this after Christmas. So the Wii U was the last thing on our mind to buy for the kids for Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're walking through the mall. We walk by GameStop because every time we go to the mall, I go to GameStop and get like a PlayStation card or something like that. And there is a stack of Wii U's there. Not like one or two. Like a stack about my height of nothing but Wii U's. And I'm like, I wouldn't ask God, I say, are these for sale? He said, yeah, we got plenty of them. You want to buy one? I say, shit, I might as well buy it now because it's going to be sold out. So I say, yeah. So I bought the Wii U for them, wrapped it up, got it ready for Christmas and stuff, right? I go to the mall like a week later. The same stack is there.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew that sucker came out. People thought it was an accessory.
Yes. And I kid you not, this is the only time I've ever seen this, where I would go to the mall and always, I have not one time, when I went to, when that was going on, it was not one time I went to the mall and not see the Wii U there for sale. They were always in stock.
That's crazy.
And that's how I knew the Wii U was going to be a flop, right there. See, these are always here. It's not like a shortage or nothing. Like, you can easily get either version of the Wii U.
That was straight up their fault because, one, the name was just stupid. All they had to do was Wii 2, Wii HD. And then if you really go back and look at the advertising, the console was always this blur in the background. And they just focused on the gamepad. And people just thought, hey, is this a new little accessory for the Wii? Maybe I'll pick it up. But they never thought it was an actual console. So I remember around the time it came out, I think maybe it was some years later, a dude actually went out on the street and was like, hey, what do you think about the Wii U? It's like, what's that? It's like, you never heard of the Wii U? Nah, is it some kind of Wii accessory or something? Everybody. It was crazy. But everybody and their freaking grandmother had an original Wii, but nobody knew what the heck that was. I don't understand how they flopped so hard.
Mm-mm. Bad messaging.
Yeah. That kind of seems like Nintendo's pattern. You know what I'm saying? They had the GameCube. It was mildly successful. Then they went to the Wii major. Wii U, flop. Switch, good. Hopefully the next one doesn't continue the pattern. So, dang, man. That's crazy how that worked out.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
What?
This is going to... We're not doing this shit. This is just... I don't want to talk about this today, but
what?
I can't physically, mentally go through this bullshit.
Oh, God.
Listen to this. State of emergency declared for LMPD ahead of the expected Breonna Taylor announcement.
Oh, no. Well, you know what that means.
Yes.
If it was something good, they wouldn't be on it like that. Because who's going to bug out? So, yeah. Well, riots are on the way. You know what I'm saying? Terribly unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like, I guess they're thinking like, hey, man, we gave y'all this $12 million. So, well, the taxpayers gave them the $12 million. But they're like, oh, that's good enough, right? We're going to let our buddies get off. What do you think about them taking that $12 million? Think they should have? Think that sent a bad message?
No, not at all. I'll tell you why. Because I feel like that might have been their only win.
Man, that's true.
Like, you've lost your child. You lost your close member of your family.
Mm-hmm.
That can't, no amount of money can replace that loss. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You lose a family member like that in that sort of a tragic way. I don't care if they ask for $100 million. No amount of money can replace that loss of that family member.
Yeah.
Especially when it's that way. Especially when it's something that has been talked about around the world. Like, and people don't get that aspect of it. Like, your child is constantly being touted for her death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every day, people try to move past death. That's a thing. Like, you don't want to keep talking about the death of a loved one because it haunts you. I'm speaking from experience. You don't want to keep hearing about that loved one that you lost because it haunts you. It's mm-hmm. like, damn, you can't move forward until you can actually move forward. But if that person is keep being brought up, you're almost never going to have to be able to move forward. And with this situation, with her not getting justice like she deserves, it's going to forever be brought up. And like, even now with this, what I just read just then, it sounds like she's not going to get justice. Not even going to get a chance at justice. And that alone is heartbreaking. That shows you how corrupt our system is and how we play by a different set of fucking rules. Because if the scenario was different and this was a white family who police busted their door with a no-knock warrant, which people kind of just glance over that. You always say, oh, the guy fired the cops. No, that's not what happened. The police busted his door unannounced. And when you bust somebody's door unannounced, people tend to want to defend their family.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what this man was doing. If this was a white person and the exact same thing happened, Americans would be outraged by what's going on. And this is the thing that pisses me off with all these Second Amendment motherfuckers. Because they will sit there and talk about the Second Amendment right when this guy was using his right to bear arms and defend himself from what he thought was intruders who, well, essentially they were intruders because they had the wrong fucking house, invading his house. He was in the right. They was in the wrong. And people are not seeing that. Somebody innocent was killed because these police officers did something unlawful. Yes, the no-knock warrant is legal in that place, which is not legal no more. But they went to the wrong fucking house, which in itself makes it illegal.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, man. This is, it's like they get it. I'm not even going to do the whole, you know, oh, they just don't understand or they don't want to see. You know what I'm saying? Because it's that's why you could tell just how with how they kind of dig into her past and try to, oh, was Breonna Taylor a drug kingpin or some type of, you know, some bull crap to try to make it seem like she's really out there slinging drugs and all that crap.
Doesn't matter.
And That is true. Regardless of whether that happened or not, you know, she doesn't deserve to die. But of course, you know, that's what they do. They'll find different reasons and they'll say, well, hey, well, their life meant less because they had some dirt going on in their life. But I don't understand that. I understand it, but it's so messed up. But it's normal.
I just think at this point in time, it does not matter because they broke the law. They were in the wrong. I can understand if, yeah, she was suspected of drugs and stuff like that, and they were specifically going to for her.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case at all. That was not the case. They went to the wrong house. They got everything wrong. 100% wrong. And when you get everything wrong, you got to take that L. Now, depending on how you want to charge the officers, that's a different thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's murder. I think it's it could be manslaughter. I think it's manslaughter. I think it's things you can look at and be like, you know what? There's something here.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like straight out murder. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess you can't say, well, it was, they meant to, and you know.
Murder's like, premeditated. That's why I say, you don't want to say murder because what they'll do is they'll try to make it like, well, they got charged wrong. When it comes to situations like this, I am all about making sure we can get them for what we can get them for, because if we don't, they're going to weasel themselves a way out of it. And that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see these killers, of Breonna Taylor go free because of a loophole or a technicality or somebody, oh, we should have charged them with this instead. No. We got to stop letting that happen. Mm-hmm. We got to stop saying, oh, these people are overcharged and stuff. No, people, we need to get them the right charges and make them pay for it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-mm-mm. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see how that goes, but I'm not expecting anything good. Well then, I guess that's it for today's podcast.
Yep.
Why you have to end it like that, man?
I don't know. It kind of just happened in real time. I didn't know how to respond to it, but yeah, it's a little depressing, but sometimes you got to speak the truth.
Yeah, that is true. But, all right. Thank you for everyone listening. Thank you for, I'm about to say it two times. Anyway, thank you for everyone listening to the Skyward Cast. Sorry for the ending on a sour note. Yes, you know, things happen, but I hope you got something from it and enjoyed the rest of the podcast. It was on a much lighter note. Of course, we're going to be back to some lighter, more fun topics next week. You know, but we always got to keep it real on here. So thank you. Appreciate all of y'all for listening. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Skyward King. And you can follow Delvin at insert your whatchamacallit, Delvin.
that's how you lead to it. Insert your thing, Delvin. You can follow you can follow Delvin at Delvin_Cox. Check out the Delvin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts, and check out the PlayStation Experience podcast. It's the gaming podcast I do for the PSVG network that I can say is pretty good because I make it funny as fuck, and I think you should check it out.
Man, don't go advertising that mess on me. No, I'm playing with you. Hey, don't forget to advertise the your Patreons, the people who start listening, you know, more listen to the Fire Brigade.
Yes. Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/DelvinCox Experience. A lot of content under the Fire Brigade, the Roast of Delvin Cox, the video version, which is nowhere else. There is Delvin Cox Uncensored, an uncensored version of my podcast where I ask all kind of crazy questions like we do F, Marry, Kill and stuff like that. There's also, what else is on there? There's also, I'm the podcast, The Heated DJ, a retrospective hip hop podcast, which is really good. And I feel like there's something else I'm missing. No, that's it.
What wasn't it like from England to
you say the UK podcast. That's
yeah.
the name.
Yeah. Ah, ha, ha. I remember one of them. but definitely everybody go check that out. What is it? The starting price is just like $1.
$1. That's it.
Yeah. Get you in there, get you a lot of exclusive content. Which is really awesome content too. So definitely go check that out. Go follow us on Twitter. So look out for the next episode because more is going to be coming. Thanks for listening and talk to y'all later.
Peace.